Oh, brothers and sisters, it's so good to be able to share the word of God with us today, looking at God's word and showing us as his people, as his children, how much he loves us by how much he's forgiven us. You ever think about that? That ratio between his love and forgiveness. And it is great. You know why it's so great? That ratio? For he gave his only begotten son so that we should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave up his most precious child so that we could become his children. And he forgave us. He forgave us after we had been unfaithful to him, after we have sinned against him, cursed his name. You know the things that human beings do. And one of the hardest things for me, and I think for everybody else as well, is to ask for forgiveness, to kind of fess up and say, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that that way or shouldn't have done that that way. But you know what? God has come, Jesus Christ, and brought forgiveness to us all. Now, that's some love. He didn't just go out and say, well, hey, you go out and you make it on your own. You go out and show me that you're righteous and that you're deserving of my love. Oh, no. He gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Now, what if somebody did something to one of your relatives? Maybe one of your children. Would you welcome them into the family? That's what, in essence, God has done. Here, because of our sins, his son died. And he forgave us. Think about that. We are the cause. I am the cause. You are the cause of the death of Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. And then God still comes to us after giving up his son so that we could be his children, welcomes us into the family, and says, come, all ye who want life, I'll give you life. And he doesn't say, come, you do it, you work yourself, you prove that you're worth being in my family. He didn't do that at all. It reminds me of the situation of John Bunyan, a Christian, oh, back in maybe the 1300s or so, maybe later than that. He wrote this little poem. I want to share it with you. It says, John Bunyan, run, John, run. The law commands. Under the law, we must run. We must run. Run, John, run. But that's not the end of it. But gives us neither feet nor hands. The law tells us to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul without giving us hands or feet. Run without shoes. Run without feet. Keep the law. Do this. Then I accept you. So John Bunyan came up with this little poem. I'll say it again. Run, John, run. The law commands. Do it. You can do it. But gives us neither feet nor hands. Now, if you were given a Herculean task, no matter what it is, and he, person telling you to do it, who's judging you by how you do it, they give you no kind of tools, neither feet nor hands, and says, okay, now you go and show me what righteousness is. You go and do this and that. You go and keep the law. Far better news, though, the gospel brings. You see, even as was stated earlier in the service, that forgiveness is one of the hardest things for a human being to do. I think it's because we get hurt, and it hurts, and we think something ought to be done about it. In fact, we believe an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, so they were all running around, you know, toothless and blind. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So the solution is I get you, you get me. That's the way it is, but that's not God's way. Far better news is the gospel it brings. It bids us fly. You put your name in. Fly, Earl Williams. Fly, Katrina. Fly. And you've given no wings. But the gospel says, See, that's what the law says, but the gospel, far better news, the gospel brings. It bids us fly, soar, and gives us wings. Isn't that awful to be told to do something, not given the material or the ability to do it? God comes and saves us. He calls us to do this, to do that, but he does it through us, through his son. And he equips us, and he forgives us. And it includes the flying of forgiveness. He says, fly, and I'm equipping you with forgiveness. You're not weighted down by your past sins. You can soar, you can fly into the heavens. And not only that, God tells us to come to him, and he forgives us of all of our sins. And he loves us, not with just a cold love. Okay, you know, I'm forgiving your sins. No, he loved us as his own son. In fact, more than his own son. That's why he gave his son, because he loved us. Think about this. He loved us. His actions showed that he loved us more than he loved his son. He put us ahead of his son. I mean, that's just the statistics. That's just the history. That's what happened. His son, whom he's well pleased. And now we are a part of his family, and we are his children. And he forgives us. He forgives us. We don't have to earn. We don't have to run. We don't have to fly. We just have to trust him, that he means what he says, and that he loves us. It is interesting in Ephesians 4 and verse 30. I want to read maybe a couple of things from the scriptures about forgiveness. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 30, Paul wrote this. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Notice, you are sealed, guaranteed. It's written on your heart. Redemption. It says, get rid of all bitterness. Why? It doesn't fit redemption. Bitterness does not fit the child of God. The child of God rejoices. The child of God is happy because they are loved, not just because they are a child of God, but they are a favored child of God, and they are loved. Get rid of all the bitterness that doesn't fit, all the rage and all the anger and all the brawling and all the slander and every form of malice. He said, get rid of that. That's not who you are. You're my child. You're beloved. You have everything. Everything I have is yours. And you don't have to run for it. You don't have to work for it. Yes, I want you to soar, but I give you the wings of salvation. I give you forgiveness. I give you attention. I give you love. I give you my whole heart. And you are mine, and you are loved forever and ever. And there's nothing you can do to make me stop loving you. And he encourages us. He builds us up. He gives us everything we need. And we're called to be with him forever and ever. You know, I think that as I weigh the scales of payback, well, so-and-so did something to me, and so I got to get him. And it wasn't right, and it happened 20 years ago, but I'm still mad, and I got a right to be mad. That's right. Many of us have gone through things that if we knew what each one went through, we'd say, well, you know, I don't blame you. You know, you got a right to be angry. You got a right to be upset. You got a right to want vengeance. But God is telling us that vengeance is his. He says, I will repay. Now, I think God is able, the Almighty, to repay more than any of us. He says, I'll take care of that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I give you my spirit. I give you my very presence. I give you who I am. Very God, I am with you, and I am yours. And let me take care of what happened way back then. Let me take the vengeance. See, because God can do it a lot better than we can. We go and do it and we're locked up, right? Now, God doesn't go around just killing people because of what happened to one of his children. No, that's ridiculous. He doesn't do that. He's a God of love. But he does know how to discipline. And he does know how to, how can we say it, take care of business. Leave that to God. See, because every time we try to do it, we are following in the footsteps of Satan. Because he likes people to be at war, to be hating one another, killing one another, destroying peace. He's not a peaceful. He's very miserable. And if you follow his way of revenge, you'll become just like him. God says, don't do that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is there. Get rid of all the slander and all of this. All the hatred. You say, but I got it right. Yeah, you have the right. But you can be right and be wrong too. And you can be dead. God says, I have come, and I have come to bring you life and life more abundantly. There's a saying, old saying, I don't know how long ago it was, but it says, to err is human. We as human beings, we make a lot of mistakes. And to err, that's an error, that's to do something wrong, is human to do it. But to forgive is divine. To err, to make mistakes, to blow your mind as far as the hatred and the things that come out of you. Well, where did that come from? I'm angry and I got a right to be angry. It's human. Anybody can get angry. And especially the devil. And he wants a whole trail of people angry walking behind him. He wants all of the Jews and he wants all of the Gentiles over in the Middle East to be fighting one another. Yay! He wins. He wins. But when God says to forgive one another, he loses, because to forgive is divine. To err is human. To fight is human. To forgive is divine. It's divine. It is help and power to you, because when you carry around what other people have done to you over the years, or when neighbors, family members, you don't know, Pastor, I don't know what you went through. You don't know what I've been through. But it's not good. This is a messed up world. And God doesn't call us to get things right in this world. He doesn't call us to get things even. He's called us to forgive. Because forgiveness is divine. It is God's nature. To err, to beat somebody up, to destroy whole civilizations is human and it's demonic. You don't want all of that. To forgive is divine. It's joy and peace and happiness and love that is in the mind and heart of God. God gives to his children. And he loves us. And he wants us to have the best life possible. And that best life is in and through him. So let us not err on the side of revenge and hatred. But let us forgive, and that is divine. And God gives us, and we ask you now, Father, to empower us even more with your love and your forgiveness. Help us to be that kind of son and daughter in your very image, forgiving and loving, helping those who even have hurt us in the past. We can't do that on our own, Lord. And you don't call us to fly without giving us wings. And the Holy Spirit, you've given us the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was like a dove, like a bird. Given that imagery, not that the Holy Spirit is a bird, but that imagery. Lord, help us to walk in your Spirit, to rejoice that we are your children, and to set that example and enjoy the abundant life that you have for us. For truly, to forgive is divine. Amen. Amen. It's time to let it go. And it's time to receive the love, the healing love and compassion of God. In 2 Corinthians, actually, 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and verse 23, as we partake of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood of Jesus, I think it's an excellent opportunity to examine ourselves, each and every one of us. And ask God to show us if we are carrying anything where others have hurt us. If God convicts you of that, ask Him to take this burden, to free you finally of all the hurt and the pain, and to fill you with joy and peace. Father, I ask you to do that. So I read the scripture here, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what he also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, if anyone eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Man or woman, a person ought to examine themselves." And Father, I ask you to examine me. Show me. Expose your heart to me, my heart to me. Show me, Father, whether or not I have a forgiving heart. A heart like yours. I want a heart like yours. Show us all, before we eat this bread or drink this cup, show us all where we are. Are we focusing on the human and the errors and the sins that have been committed against us? Or are we focused on the divine? How you, Jesus, did not die in vain for us to hold on what can be forgiven in other people. Help us to open our hands and let the past go, and to fill our hands with the embrace of your love and mercy towards us, and help us to be that way towards other people, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ, towards our neighbors and friends. Help your light of your divine love, grace, and mercy shine through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that God invites us to partake of the bread and wine, that we come to the table. As we eat and drink, we'll play the song, "Come to the Table."
We all start on the outside, the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give.
Oh, the shape that we were in. And just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here. And that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door and let mercy draw you near. So to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who failed and then forgive, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained.
Come to the table.